Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Football is saved and the class of 92 are finally getting the managerial chances they deserve. Welcome along to a new episode of the Football Ramble. It's Tuesday the 13th of October. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Ah, what a lovely story to start the day off, eh, Luke?
Yeah, I wanted to just leave a little bit of a gap there because I felt like we were going head first into it.
I know.
Really fast. I thought, you know what, we should relax a little bit, which is unlike me. Yeah. Unlike me, really.
You seem actually quite chilled. I wondered if you'd, what have you been doing with yourself?
I've turned 40. That's yes. What it is, I think. I just think every time I wake up in the morning now and I start thinking about the stuff I've got to do today, I just think, oh, I'm 40, doesn't matter. Made it this far.
What, life is done?
Yeah. No, it's not done. There's no point worrying about it anymore.
Completed it, mate.
Yeah, there's no point worrying about it anymore.
Wow.
Listen, next year, you'll find out next year.
Oh, he's pleased with himself, ladies and gentlemen. He's made a funny.
Yeah. As ever with my jokes, did they make me laugh? In which case, they're fine.
To be honest, that's absolutely fine. Mm. And yeah, I will look forward to that.
I
hope I'll get... Do you get big presents on big birthdays at the Ramble, generally?
No, not really.
Oh, right.
No. We're kind of birthday agnostic, I think.
Oh, right.
Yeah, never mind.
Fair enough.
You know when Kevin Hatchard, Bundesliga commentator, had a birthday, I think it was birthday or maybe it was Christmas, that other Bundesliga commentators clubbed together and got him a Darth Vader suitcase.
I saw that, yeah.
Now that is decent.
I saw that. That's great.
It made me think I'm working at the wrong place.
What are we talking in terms of? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's about the company, isn't it? It's all about the company.
I mean, it's a little bit rich given that I've sat in the room
it's
with
about
two...
a company buying you presents.
It's a bit richer. I've sat in a room with two people who more than anyone else in this Ramble project do whatever they want whenever they want. So I'm not sure that's going to wash Brattle, thank you very much.
When
anyway,
I want to hear a tiny bit...
whatever they want, you mean buy yourself the gift and expense it?
Yeah.
That's actually a great shout. I just want to hear a tiny bit more about this Darth Vader suitcase. Is it shaped like a... or it's just got a picture of Darth Vader on it?
No, it's shaped like the helmet.
It's a wheelie
like a wheelie suitcase.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's wheelie good.
Oh, my goodness me. I'm going to move swiftly on from that.
Yeah.
Luke.
Yeah.
Because we've got plenty to discuss. It's a tasty old ramble today, I feel like. So strap in. Right, we're going to start with talking about Project Big Picture. So the guys yesterday, I suppose it was the start of the rumblings, really, of this big story. And they talked about it a bit at the end, but we want to... get the two of the finest minds in football broadcasting. Look, don't bash the table.
Sorry, yeah. Ironic. Because I was thinking, when are they getting it?
Maybe they're under this table.
Because if they're that good, they should get it for their call time if they're that good.
So yeah, we want to get those lads onto the subject, which is just a recap briefly. It's the story that Manchester United and Liverpool owners have tried to have launched an idea, basically, put a proposal together to say that they are going to rescue football as it stands. Specifically, the headline proposals are this £250 million of funding going through to the rest of the Football League and this idea that the rest of the league will share 25% of things like broadcast revenue. Of course, as with any good thing, and there are a lot of good things, as they said, the guy said yesterday, there's always got to be a downside. There's no such thing as a free lunch, is there? And the main downside seems to be this idea of the six being in charge. The six, the big six, getting disproportionately large votes. For me, I'm confused as to why this would be able to be passed. I don't know if this is the same as the three of us coming up with a proposal to save football. Clearly it's not. But the point being that they don't... they need to get 14 of the clubs in the Premier League now to vote for this, for it to go through, because of how the voting rights currently sit.
Yeah.
And it does seem to me to be, while the Football League would benefit, from what we can tell, hopefully, it would be a bit like Turkey's voting for Christmas at this point.
Yeah, but I think there's one major thing about this, and it's not just about the fact that It's not going to get passed, because when we're talking about Turkey's voting for Christmas, we're really talking about the rest of the Premier League clubs, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly. The 14, if you like. Mm. Yeah.
But if it were to come to the EFL clubs, the big problem the EFL clubs have got at the moment, of course, they're the ones that are in this difficult position, and therefore we assume might at least consider this sort of deal, because it's clear that there is at least half an appetite out there for some clubs to take this on and not really think about the long-term consequences.
We've heard from so far, I think, like the Leyton Orient chairman, they seem to have been like pretty wild pro, right? Because, you know, well, give us some money and who really cares about the lot at the top of the Premier League?
Because the lower league teams is
struggling so much.
The Premier League's not really relevant to them.
Exactly.
But that's how the EFL... clubs work, a lot of them anyway, isn't it? It's constantly...
Well, they can't agree on anything, can they? It's between them.
But I think there are two sides to this. Firstly, the way that EFL clubs are run, or a lot of EFL clubs are run, which is on the brink of insanity anyway.
Yes.
And this predates COVID. So it's a constant kicking of the can down the road. And this is just no different to that. So why would a lot of them be appalled by it? But I think what it comes down to as well, and I'm not actually... just saying this because of Rick Parry's rather unusual role in this. Mm. The EFL is a weak institution, and it's been a weak institution for a long time. And when you talked about the EFL clubs not being able to agree on anything, I think when it comes back to the ending of last season, particularly in League One and League Two, despite the fact it was okay for the playoffs to go ahead. And, you know, there are a lot of clubs that are sore about that, particularly Tranmere, for example, who got relegated and it cost them quite a lot of money, is the fact that the EFL has no power to impose anything on anyone. And also, they don't really have the ability to bring clubs together to properly discuss stuff as well. And I think you've got to add the extra angle, just going back to what we were talking about before, any sort of rescue package for EFL clubs, the thing that you've got to be worried about, not just where does the money come from, how is it distributed? Do we trust the majority of them not to completely waste it?
Mm.
Because on the evidence of recent years,
God,
you know, it has to be filtered through in a very specific way. It's a lot to think about. There's no doubt about that.
Sorry, Kat, I was just going to say, I think that consideration is important, but at this point, it's a secondary consideration, right? Because you have to agree the deal and the package before you start talking about, because it's a different prospect to say, and now we want assurances about how you're going to spend this money.
Yeah,
that's a secondary consideration at this point, in my view.
Are you saying that are you saying that because so many league clubs are badly run? Is that the point you're trying to make?
Yeah,
give them the money, and who cares? Yeah, because I was looking into
there needs to be. I don't know really if this is the right phrase. It needs to be a care package and a relationship rather than. I think the main problem with this, I think, is it's. And not just about the top clubs doing what they want. It's about, is there going to be a lack of engagement going forward after they've given the money over?
The irony also being, don't forget, that the fact that ECCC was implemented meant that the Premier League took away the Football League's, a big way a Football League club could make any money in the first place.
Absolutely.
So that's got to be... So what we're getting at is, I think it's a very complicated issue, and I think for the benefit of people actually listening, it's not going to be... great to just get into the weeds of all the admin, but I think the important thing to remember for me is you've got to get this absolutely right. We said before this project big picture leaked yesterday or the day before, we've been saying for weeks now that there's a storm coming in football, and just because the news cycle means that people get very, very quickly fatigued of big stories, it doesn't mean the stories themselves go away. So the Football League has been in real trouble for a long time, as Andy rightly says, predating COVID, and COVID has made it a lot worse. And the Leyton Orient chairman came out today, I think it was the chairman, certainly spokesperson, said 5 or 6 weeks away from a good amount of Football League clubs but going to the wall, right? And let's not forget that these clubs were going to the wall anyway. So something's got to be done. Something has to happen. There needs to be some kind of rescue package, and there has had to have been that for quite a long time. The issue is that, I mean, from the Premier League's point of view, you can rescue a drowning man without threatening to take away his house. Correct. You know what I mean? Mm. You can just take your foot off his head, mate. Just help him into the boat, right? Yeah. And then we'll discuss the rest of it later. Because at the same time, they've spent £1 billion on transfer fees for players, and the top of these clubs are awash with money. That it's rather unsavoury to turn something that you paint on the side of it rescue package, but it turns out to be a massive power
grab.
No. And it's not a shock.
That's the thing about it, Andy.
It's not a shock. And I think the best way of seeing this is the opening salvo in a negotiation that has to happen.
Yeah,
I've heard ideas recently. One I found particularly interesting, which was the idea that the government in some way loans the EFL clubs or the EFL, whatever it may be, the money they need with assurances, and the Premier League pays the interest on the loans, right?
Yeah.
So that to me feels like an interesting way of approaching it. But Andy's absolutely right. The clubs need to take responsibility for how they run themselves, but they aren't being able to run themselves at the moment because they can't have fans in. They can't sell academy players because that's been taken from them. Mm. And I'll just finish by saying, before I rant on forever and people turn off again, is that the Premier League also has to understand and acknowledge the vital role that the EFL plays in the football ecosystem. If you look through all the team sheets of Premier League clubs this weekend, it will be awash with players who've come through the Football League system, whether they've come through in a way like Jamie Vardy or Ollie Watkins or whoever, or whether they've been someone like Harry Kane who's come through in the Premier League and refined their skills in the Football League. It's vital to how the country operates on a football basis, and the Premier League need to acknowledge that. So to me, it's an opening salvo. It needs to be compromised on. It needs to be refined in a big, big way. But regardless of what I think or what anyone in this room thinks or what anyone listening thinks, football is going to change as we know it in pretty short order if these things aren't sorted out. And I think we should at least acknowledge that that's the case.
What's interesting about this time, of course, the COVID time, is that I was looking at some of the, you know, the revenue. My subscription to Consultancy UK has been, you know,
come home to roost. Pay for itself now, that.
At the end of last year, they did a bit of analysis about League One and League Two revenues and talked about how they're basically stagnating. They're not going up. And your average League One club has a revenue of £6 million, and a League Two club has just £4 million. Now, if you consider all the backwards and forwards about wages, that's, you know, that's not a net revenue. If we're going to go down that route, it's just what they're managing to earn. Now, clearly, all of that has been pretty much scrapped over the last, whatever we are now, 7 months.
Yeah.
And the point, I think, about this proposal, which, of course, has been leaked, so we don't know where it would have gone, it's being made to seem as though it's the only proposal possible. It's the only proposal out there. And I guess that's because people are reacting to it. People are coming up with thoughts about it. But as I understand it from looking into it a bit, it seems as though there have been other proposals that have been being worked on that have been blocked by this Big Six.
I think the government have been in negotiations with stakeholders for a little while, haven't they? And I think, you know, without getting too tinfoil hat about it, and
that's a rassle.
Because Kate was accusing Andy of being a conspiracy theorist for something completely different, and I think that was unfair. Andy. But what I wanted to say
was unfair. It was very, thanks for bringing it up.
It was very unfair. It was very unfair. What I would say is that, you know, if you are the power holders in this situation, so you are. John Henry's apparently had a passion for this kind of reform of the whole football system in the UK or in England for a little while now.
They've been discussing it supposedly for 3 years.
Since 2017, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but if, without being too conspiracy theory about it, if you know something's got to be done and you know there's a reasonable chance that, you know, the big feast at the top table might be over in some ways, or at least changed to how you know it, why wouldn't you leak this and get out ahead of it? Why wouldn't you take the initiative and put your first kind of negotiating card on the table and say, this is how we see it working, and that's setting the standard.
That's how big European football works.
Exactly.
We're going to leak a proposal for the future of football that's totally unpalatable to everyone but the top clubs, and we will get our concessions from there.
We'll try and force it through, yeah.
Exactly.
And essentially start from a position that's so high that even when we get reduced down by compromise, we're still in a pretty good position.
It's a tactic, isn't it? It's like they say about when you're negotiating, you know, on a salary or whatever, you have to start with an absurdly large number.
Kate, you ain't got to tell me about that. Listen, I don't know why you're looking at me there. Let's not air our dirty laundry in public now. But honestly, going back to the serious issue around Football League, one thing you didn't mention, Kate, which I almost called you Claire then.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry, why did I almost call you Claire?
I don't know, who's Claire?
Oh, my best friend's wife's called Claire.
Okay.
That's probably why. That's got worse. anyway, what I was going to say was, one thing you didn't mention is the fact that not only have they had every kind of avenue of earning money taken from them.
Yes.
The percentage that they take from matchday revenue is much higher than it is in the Premier League.
Of course.
And that's got to be taken into account as well. So the government also has a role to play in this because, as we've seen and we've talked about last week, they're not doing what most people would perceive to be the best they can to get people back into stadiums safely in some capacity, despite other areas of the society being prioritised. So it's a massive mess. And the one thing I would like to end by saying is just that we should also understand that it's an unprecedented situation. So we can't blame people for not being able... We can blame them for acting in their own brazen self-interest, but we can't blame people for not knowing how to deal with this. And Kate, last time you and I were on the show together, we did say that, you know, collaboration is going to be the key here. Yeah. If everyone's going to rush to blame everyone else about what's going wrong, it's not going to get solved. People need to get around a table. They need to negotiate, and they need to work for the good of the country and for the good of the sport, because there's no real value. You can't have the price of everything and the value of nothing. If you end up with a scorched earth policy where it's just you and Man United playing each other every week and there's no other teams, it's going to be a bit shit. So let's at least acknowledge that, even though they all go off to Europe and play against all the other big European teams.
That is an idea, isn't it? Liverpool play Man United 38 times a season.
Well, Man United, they're going to be shit, aren't they?
So I feel like it's happened already.
It doesn't really matter.
Glastonbury doesn't even happen.
No, yeah.
There's
a
future to look forward to.
Oh my God, what is this dystopia that we are painting here? But there will be Football Ramble.
There will be twists and turns, right?
Yeah, of course. And exactly as you say, it's a negotiating point, I think, and it's pretty interesting to see how everyone's reacted to it. I mean, the longest serving club's idea that makes it be 9 in total rather than the 6, one of them, West Ham, has come out and said, oh no, we're not really fussed about this.
Yeah, because they'll be at the devil's side rather than in his path for a bit.
That's I've not heard that
because you only need 6 people of the 9 to vote anyway. So the other 3 that are going to be supplementary members,
just irrelevant.
It's not going to matter, is it?
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. When this was originally floated, I was thinking, okay, English football is going to be run by Preston and Sheffield FC.
Yeah. Lovely. Yeah. Lovely stuff. Yeah.
That's one for the traditionalists.
As then
we'll
bloody
just,
should
we'll
be.
Just get back to a knockout European Cup.
I mean, one thing I would say is
be glorious.
I wouldn't necessarily recommend that West Ham start pleading poverty and then bidding £30 million for Saeed Benrahma in the same week.
With add-ons.
Okay.
What a bloody segue. I think perhaps that's where we should get to. So yeah, it's interesting stuff. Hopefully it's a symptom of something that's going to happen, as you say, Luke, rather than just people posturing about the place. And to be honest, I don't think we can blame people for acting in their own brazen self-interest, but that's a conversation for another...
Football's been doing that for a long time.
Exactly,
anyway.
For another day. And also, guys, thank you for all the emails you've been sending in on this. Shahid Nabi, Joshua Eaton, Alex Haler as well. Lots more getting in touch. We really appreciate it. Show at footballramble.com and we will, you know, be talking about this plenty more in the future. So do keep telling us your thoughts and coming up with... do we want to hear your own project pictures?
Why not? Could it be any worse?
Perhaps we should put them to the government.
Yeah, maybe. Have you got a direct line, Kate?
Oh, you know, mate. Fingers in all the pies. So yeah, as you mentioned, Luke, West Ham possibly throwing money around because, as we know, the transfer window has slammed shut, but not the domestic transfer window that's open until this Friday. And the kind of most linked player, I would say, actually, is Bournemouth's Josh King. He's also been linked, apart from with West Ham, with Everton as well. He says he wants to play for a club in the Champions League, Andy. Now, look, his preferred position is up front, right? And we know that he's had a bit of... His goal-scoring record has probably been hampered by the fact that he hasn't been able to play there quite often.
He's done the hard yards for Bournemouth, let's say.
Quite.
Yes.
He's played there just 33 times between 2016 and 19 and found the net when he did 23 times. Did I say that right? 33 times, 23 times.
Yeah.
Pretty decent. He wants to play for a Champions League club. I mean, I think now that only the domestic window is open, possibly even more difficult, although he was linked with places like Sevilla before the window closed. Yeah, do you think that's an unreasonable ambition for him?
I think it's going to be hard. I don't think there's any
four
doubt
words
about
for
that.
You. Eric, Maxim, Chupo, Moting.
Yeah!
The difference is...
You've seen him, he's kicked the door down and Josh just wants to walk through it, Andy. Why won't you stop? Why won't you let him?
Chupo never had anyone asking 18 million quid for him.
Okay.
I think is a significant difference there because, of course, he's not just got a year left of contract. He is into the last year of his contract with the fact that... The seasons are weirdly aligned at the moment, and that means he's going to be able to sign for who he wants for next summer in, what, 2.5 months?
Unless the code rules have changed with COVID, have they not changed?
No, we've got a transfer window in January.
Right.
So is
and also
I think that's
the
thing. Psychologically, I think clubs are having a difficulty justifying paying a player who they're thinking will be able to get four free. In 2.5 months. Now, actually, if you wanted to take him in the January transfer window, that wouldn't be free, but you'd be able to get a commitment
from him, free. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that is quite difficult to sign off with banks and shareholders and boards
it?
And all that sort of stuff. Yeah,
yeah, okay.
Exactly. But I think you're right. He's at a weird sort of position in his career at the moment, Josh King, Kate, because not only has he, I think, really taken one for the team at Bournemouth, but also... the fact that things have completely differently aligned with his national team as well, in that he was a go-to guy for Norway. And all of a sudden, Alex Sorloth has built himself into this behemoth of a striker while he was in his year in Turkey and got a huge move off the back of it.
Just the striker Palestine, you know.
Exactly. And you've got Erling Haaland as well emerging. So they've got this large and large... striker partnership, and he's just, you know, sort of getting the crumbs off the table, which is a really difficult situation for him. So I can understand a certain anxiety in him wanting to get somewhere where he feels he can make an impression. The question is, though, Luke, if there's an opportunity open for him to go to a Champions League club, is he sort of almost accepting a situation where he's going to be this... not exactly 12th man, but definitely subordinate piece in any of these clubs, like he is for his country? Because I feel it is a real crossroads in his career.
Well, I think it's partly informed by the fact that there have been discussions with Champions League clubs for him. So Manchester United, Spurs, I know who aren't a Champions League club now.
Do you think he's the best backup you can get, basically?
No, I don't think that necessarily. Well,
they do think that. He's not going to go to Spurs and take the place.
They think that. Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you wanted.
So
I
is he
that.
Being forced to accept a certain role?
Well, I think he needs to determine what his priorities are, because if he go,
because he's 28 now, right?
Exactly.
As well, which but surprised me.
The problem is if he's linked most heavily with West Ham at the time of recording. Now, West Ham clearly want someone to fill in on the left, presumably, because they've been linked with Benrahma as well. They play four nows there, and they've played Felipe Anderson there, who's probably going to move on.
He's gone to Porto.
He's on loan. He could come back, but...
So that's probably why they want to use Josh Keane, because they think, well, he can do us a job on the left, and he can also play up front. At West Ham, the thing is, you never know, do you? Because they're not a Champions League club, but you also don't know if you're ever going to play, because they have 5 million players, at one point all of whom were probably quite good, but you never quite know whether they're going to be released on a free or disappear or never play again.
And that's the thing with the Benrahma thing, isn't it? Because you look at him and he's such an exciting player. Does anyone who's not a West Ham fan think, oh, I really hope he goes there? I feel he could fulfil his potential there. Is anyone else thinking that?
Point.
No, I don't.
Or is he another one of these hugely talented players who's just going to get lost in this formless munge that they've got?
yeah, that's right. So look, Josh,
you made a good point with Felipe Anderson. There's a hugely talented player, and when he signs for 40 million, you think, bloody hell, West Ham's done well to get him. Had a very good first season, and then he kind of disappears, and they end up loaning him to Porto, which is basically them saying, right, well, you've got 2 years left on your contract. We'll loan you to this club that can't afford to buy you simply because we think you'll get in the first team there. Put yourself in the shop window and we can at least get some money back for you next year.
Yeah,
that's the situation that they're in.
And it's a fairly similar principle to Sebastian Haller, who comes there with brilliant reputation, is played in a completely different way for West Ham, isn't coached properly, and now no one really knows what he's capable of.
And you're never getting that money back on him.
Nah. Oh. Anyway, there you go. That's
okay,
West Ham
so
for you.
It sounds like
sorry, West Ham fans.
Yeah, we're not hoping.
Jack Wilshere's gone. Is that better?
We're not hoping that Josh King goes there for the benefit of his career. I mean, he nearly went to United as well. Let's not forget, which is where he was when he was 16. He nearly went back. He knew Ole Gunnar Solskjaer from playing. In fact, they share the same agent from playing in the youth.
Well, like I said,
that's
partly informed his ambitions, because he's been linked with Man United and Spurs. So
why not wait till January, probably, on his part, rather than getting desperate and going to West Ham? Sorry, again, West Ham fans. West Ham fans, maybe just switch off now.
Getting desperate and going to West Ham. That's what you were going to say. So there you go.
I think that's an unfair representation of it, because I'm sure they pay extremely well. So let's say new QPR.
There we go.
That's better. Everyone's happy now.
I feel saved.
I wouldn't if I were you.
Right, yeah.
As long as we can clarify, it's Kate Mason who said new QPR.
Yeah. And never mind, if worst comes to worst and you get really desperate, you can go to West Ham. Hey?
Yeah. It's not big. I know West Ham is a big club, a good club in many ways. I just, for the reasons that we've just explained about the development of great players, please make sure you put that in the clip if you put it online. All right, let's get myself out of that one. Guys, it's time for a break. After this, we'll be hearing from you on the mascot saga of the month. And also, we'll be heading a little bit to Salford City and Peckham Town.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join me, Melissa Reddy, and listen to my brand new podcast, Between the Lines. I'll be speaking to the biggest names in football about the captivating, behind-the-scenes stories fans want to hear. From major talking points to untold anecdotes, you'll hear from some of football's leading stars as well as those working in the shadows. In our first episode, I spoke to former Spurs manager Maurizio Pochettino about that Amazon documentary.
We feel responsible because it was very difficult to say yes to open the door to Amazon. Only we watch with Jesus the 25 minutes first, because it was until we left the club.
And on our latest episode, I investigate how prevalent and damaging social media abuse is in football.
And I was like taking all this negativity onto myself, and I did. I kind of lost myself and my personality because I knew everything that was going on around it. And it's not until I actually got to a stage where I thought, I can't take this anymore. It is becoming too much for me, that I spoke out about it.
Craving football insight? Well, look no further. Listen to Between the Lines with me, Melissa Reddy, via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hello, I am Sven-Goran Eriksson, and you are listening to the Football Ramble.
Yes, you are, friends. Hello, Sven.
It's quite a melodic way he says his own
name. Beautiful. Yeah, I like it. And also, the way he says hello, I can't hello. Do it. I wouldn't ever try and do it because I know there's experts.
So what is the thinking behind that being played on a non-Marcus Speller day?
Just keep on his toes.
Yeah.
Keep him on his toes.
If you turned up to work more, Marcus. Like you'd advertised you were going to do yesterday, in fact. But no, surprise. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Sven's with us.
He's not with us, though, is he?
He's just with us in the corner. Marcus,
then what
if you're listening.
What is that smell of brandy and guitar smoke?
Guitar smoke?
Yeah.
Is that good?
All right, guys. Now it's time for this.
Just even a show.
That grade one violin didn't really help him at his pitching, did it?
Jesus. The passion's amazing. Do you know what I mean? You look at Pete, it's a bit like, okay, technically that's not great singing. I can hear that. But the passion just carries him through.
Is there any truth in the fact that he painstakingly put that together and then he got to the end and he thought, oh, fuck, I've left Andy out. And he had to do it all again.
I don't know. It's possible. It's absolutely possible. But what I like about it is he's paid someone to go and do the jingle.
Yeah.
And then he sung himself over the top of it.
Yeah.
And the passion in the well done at the end is what makes it for me.
Right. I think it'd be better without the other person, because then you can just hear exactly how off the pitch.
Don't tell him that.
Sorry, Pete. No,
you get drunk on power.
No offence. So it is time for your emails and your tweets as well. Although lucky he didn't mention that in the jingle or still be listening to it.
Yes.
Get in touch, show@footballramble.com or tweet us.
Yeah, so this email, it's actually a tweet, you're right. It's come from Luke Ray Campbell, which I thought was in the running order. Luke, you read a tweet from Ray Campbell, but he's actually called Luke Ray Campbell, apparently.
In your honour, mate.
Nice.
He used to be called Ray Campbell, but he got the deed done.
He should have set his sights much higher than that. He says, wait, the mascot at Hearts got paid, obviously reference to yesterday's show. As a preteen, I dressed as Dundee United's wee mascot, Tiny Terror, for 3 years, a small lion cub to accompany our main mascot, Terry the Terror, brackets a larger lion.
Aww.
Tiny Terror and Terry the Terror. In between getting punched in the ill-fitting head by angry children, resulting in a horror movie-style spinning but child-friendly lion head, I graced the pitch with legends of the game like Henrik Larsson, Ronaldinho, Lionel Messi, Stan Petrov and Peter Lovenkrantz. I think Peter Lovenkrantz done very well to get in that list. Although he was obviously a great player. I also joined the likes of the then Partick Parrot, pre-Kingsley days, and Paisley Panda at Hampden for mascot races, but I never got to meet Pele the elephant. P.S. Paisley Panda used to birth a smaller panda, presumably the person's own baby, dressed in a panda onesie from a kit bag. This was, however, well before my time, but remains vivid in the minds of all who witnessed this horror show.
How do you birth something from a kit bag?
I mean, it's...
like pour it out?
It's taken a turn there.
Push it?
Yeah, it's taken a turn there.
Gross.
Mascot. The mascot
quite
world
graphic,
is
isn't it?
Really graphic. Do you think the kit bag was all like bloody and stuff?
The mascot world is quite sinister when you scratch a little bit beneath the surface.
Like a red bibs, maybe.
Yeah. Terry the Terror. Who's thought of that?
You know, I was once offered a job as a mascot, not a football mascot, but I was working for a temping agency before going to university, and I got rung up one like Thursday afternoon.
Yeah.
And the guy on the other end said, you did English at A-level, didn't you? You've probably got some sort of artistic bent. How do you fancy being Bertie the Bromley Badger?
Yeah, did you
and
do it?
That was to, like, when they were turning the Christmas lights on in Bromley.
Aww.
And he said, well, like, basically, you have to get in this badger suit. You have a girl who's like a chaperone because, as he put it, there was a nasty incident last year with some teenagers and some tomato ketchup.
Oh, sickening.
So anyway, I agreed. I'd mentally banked the money, so I went out and spent a significant amount. Well, not that much, obviously. No.
Somewhere on the sliding scale between Gigantosaurus and this Hearts mascot.
Yeah. But this was back in the 1960s, obviously. But
sorry, Dundee United mascot. Do you want to make that mistake again?
Anyway, I got rung back like sort of 4 hours later after I'd spent a significant amount of money. He said, you know what? We found someone with previous badger experience.
Badger, specifically, not mascotting.
Yeah, not even mascot, badger.
Wow.
Maybe I guess there's something about the stride or like the because it's very unusual as a badger to be walking on your hind legs, which is, I imagine, what you would have been doing.
Yeah.
So presumably that was one of the real difficulties of the job.
Someone who's like used to walking in heels, for example.
Oh, why?
There would be, well, if you're talking about not walking on your full foot.
Oh, nice.
But maybe, Andy, maybe you also, is there a potential for you to be too tall for the costume as well? Because you're quite tall.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
So it might have been like you would look like you were wearing a badger top, but it'll be a crop top. And it'll be a human belly beneath it, which is not going to be great for the kids, particularly if tomato ketchup's going to be involved. So anyway.
We think that Paisley Panda thing was terrifying.
I want to hear from as many mascots as possible.
Yeah, so I do as well.
As Pete says, show at footballramble.com for that.
Although after that groundswell of support for Gigantosaurus and his wages, I feel like the mascot community is slightly rising up and being like, what the hell? How is he getting paid so much?
It's an important job and I do respect it, but that is a massive salary for that.
Hey. Who are we to judge?
I think it was 80 grand a year.
What? I thought it was 40, but okay, we'll check that. Anyway, yes, as Luke says, please do keep emailing and tweeting in. We love to hear from you, especially those cheeky little mascots.
Yeah.
Now, guys, at the match has obviously taken something of a hit from COVID, hasn't it, Andy? But you managed to find a lovely bit of non-league action to take Luke to this weekend to mingle with the other rosy-cheeked, like-minded enthusiasts.
Yeah.
And you were rewarded, as I understand it, with Peckham Town's best performance of the season.
Yeah, that's right. They trounced Stansfeld 5-0.
Yeah.
We thought Stansfeld had come over from the low leagues of Germany, didn't we? Because it's not Stansfield, it's Stansfeld.
Yeah. Yeah, they look like a German.
Was it a misspelling?
No, originally. It's not. It might be, actually.
Might be a programme misspelling, do you think?
But we went down to Peckham Town because that's the level of football you're allowed fans in at the moment. And with our 250-ish other hardy souls, watched the game and and had a look at what was going on. You ought to hear that in the At The Match episode when it comes out, or Football Ramble Presents, probably in the next week or so.
Yeah,
so keep an eye on that.
I'm still waiting for my cup of tea. That was
It's brilliant.
Yeah,
okay,
we want to get behind the scenes of this one.
It was brilliant because we turned up and it's a non-league round and it's Peckham Town, and I thought I'm going to go get a cup of tea. Fine.
Lovely.
Andy made me ask the woman behind the counter for a green tea, and she looked at me like she didn't even understand the words I was asking. She didn't get it. She was like, what? And then what did she say?
She said, oh, that flavoured stuff. My son's got lots of that. I had a sip once, but never again.
And I was like, so is that a yes or a no? And then Mr. Andy had to settle for a normal builders.
Slumming it, mate.
But you say, like, how can you expect that at a non-league football ground? It's a non-league football ground. It's actually in Dulwich, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just thinking that. It's like the Dulwich. True. I mean, you can get green tea at Dulwich. I can tell you that for nothing.
Yeah, I mean, in that case, just read the room. That's what
I'll say. Andy
couldn't read the room because he had sent me to do the work, so he didn't know.
So we actually have no verifiable information that this did in fact happen.
Oh, it did happen. We got it on tape.
Oh, okay, phew. Because I thought Luke might have just gone off and I'm not getting this bloody green tea.
I was there. I felt the thick end of the tea lady's wrath.
Yeah.
for even asking for a green tea, didn't
I?
But anyway, keep an eye on Football Ramble Presents. Subscribe over there. Search Football Ramble Presents wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll see that episode drop in as soon as we've got it ready.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that one. Green tea issues aside, I hope you guys made up in the end.
Oh,
you seem to be fine today.
We're
so
always good.
You know,
we're always good.
That's fine. Now, look, we mentioned earlier that those class of 92 lads are finally getting the opportunities in management that they've been seeking out. And we start with an exciting new era at Salford FC, where Paul Scholes has just taken over, replacing Graham Alexander, who, as far as I can tell, and also I saw the highlights of their game at the weekend, has had a pretty decent start to the season. Unbeaten in five, fifth in the table. I think basically what happened, I'm gonna lay this out there.
Have you got conspiracy theories?
Yeah, got it off you, mate. basically, Gary Neville, Scholes and Roy Keane went along to the game at the weekend, right? And Salford were 2-0 up after 20 minutes.
Yes.
And then they drew to Tranmere, I think it was. Yeah. They equalised in the 90-plus third minute. And effectively, what it feels like is that Neville, Scholes and Keane did that, like, annoying fan thing of going along and then afterwards being like, bloody hell, like, I can't believe we conceded in the last minute of the game. I could do a better job than this. But unfortunately, they're the owners. So they then just put themselves in charge.
Well, there's a couple of things. Firstly, we've got to clarify that Paul Scholes hasn't been given the gig permanently.
No.
He has
done it once before for a game.
He's tiding them over while they find a new job. Let's hope so. There doesn't seem to be any appetite, either him or Patrice Everett, right? there doesn't seem to be any appetite for him to take it long term, not least from him. But apparently, they didn't finish last season particularly well in terms of.
They tailed off badly.
Yeah. And also, I think I think there is a point there, though, that you make, Kate, about the fact that the class of 92, go and watch them at home. Now, they've quite struggled at home this season. And so I think you maybe have a quite different impression than the overall picture. Mm. But, you know, they've been quite brutal since they've taken over Salford. You know, obviously they've raised standards enormously. And they've got through quite a few coaches, haven't they? Mm. Quite a few head coaches, managers. And clearly that's worked for them so far. So even if Graham Alexander's been unlucky, maybe he's just a League Two Nigel Adkins. And, you know, the fact is Southampton don't regret that now, do they?
No. We had a little look at some other owner managers as well. Michael Knighton, owner of Carlisle, start of 1997 Division 2 season, didn't go so well. He sacked Mervyn Day. He couldn't find anyone to take over. He became the manager himself. They were relegated.
That's very much latter day Michael Knighton. Like people might not remember when he looked like he was taking over Manchester United, which would have been in 89? And they beat Arsenal 4-1 on the opening day after he did keepy uppies in front of the Stretford end with the biggest smile that you've ever seen beneath that tash. And then Neil Webb scored that amazing dipping volley for the third goal as they beat Arsenal with some style as well. And then it turned out he didn't have the money to buy the club.
I mean,
he went and bought Carlisle instead.
Yeah. That that talk of Salford, you know, not beating Tranmere and stuff. I mean, Tranmere, I think, were depleted because a few of their players had tested positive for COVID. And so there was a game they were expected to win. And they tailed off really badly last season. And as Andy's already said, that the owners have been completely ruthless. I'd like to have a note on Graham Alexander's playing career, which was absolutely magnificent. He played almost 1,000 games as a player. He was an incredible player.
Good penalty taker as well.
He used to take penalties, yeah, exactly. He spent a bit of time towards the end of his career. People might remember him playing that one Premier League season with Burnley in 2009-10, yeah, when he was, you know, I don't know how old he was exactly, but he was coming to the twilight of his career, and he was still a fantastic kind of servant to them. The year before that, he played over 60 games in the Championship and all the other competitions as well. So, look, amazing, amazing player. Probably, maybe he's been treated a bit shabbily, but they've got big ambitions for that club. And I wouldn't be surprised if they hire a slightly bigger name, because clearly they've got the money as well.
Well, it's not going to be Nuno this time, is it?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, imagine if it was. That'd be amazing. But
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's next job, maybe.
One of the things that continually dogs Paul Scholes is this fact that he spent a month or whatever it was at Oldham and it didn't
31
work.
Days, yeah.
Yeah, but Oldham, I'm not saying that Paul Scholes will be a brilliant manager or whatever. I mean, the point is we just don't really know. I suspect that if he was going to be a good one, he would have started properly by now. But Oldham was a basket case of a club then.
And yeah, you can't pin that on him. Also, yeah, I think it's probably not acknowledged how much he loves Oldham Athletic.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that would have really pained him to walk away from that.
Mm. No, yeah. I completely agree. I think that's right, yeah.
That's why it was so surprising. Yeah, he said that was the whole thing where he said he hadn't got the control he'd been guaranteed, wasn't it?
But to understand the Salford City thing, I think you do have to also get into a kind of non-league fan mindset. And non-league football clubs tend to be all about community and you are much closer to the action. Some of the fans also tend to have not personal relationships with the players, but at least know them on nodding terms and feel like they're a part of the club.
Yeah.
And the way that Salford City have done things under their current ownership has been perceived to be the antithesis of that. It's been bombarding the league with money. It's been signing, but they famously signed a player from the Scottish Premier League or something like that and given big money and all that kind of stuff.
Adam Rooney cost like $4,000 a week or something, didn't he?
And that is very much not what non-league football, in quotes, is supposed to be about. Mm. Now, I understand it's more nuanced than that, but
non-league football is always about that. There will always be someone who comes along and does that.
But they've got a lot of ill feeling is what I'm saying. And AFC Wimbledon might well have been the same, because they're quite, it's a different proposition, but they're a much bigger club clearly for that level, but they've got to work their way through, and they're going to put people's noses out of joint on the way up, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm. Well, I remember when Wimbledon were in what the probably Isthmian Premier, and Hornchurch came into a ton of money. And this would have been in what, 2007? They offered, do you remember Giuliano Grazioli?
I do.
Who played for Barnet and very consistent for them. Mm. They offered him $4,000 a week to come and play for them.
That's Brussels kind of money. I tell you what, non-league football is about. It's about Stoke Gabriel FC, guys, which I think, let's check in on them, shall we, before we wrap up for the day. They currently are the least successful football team on these fair isles. They've played and lost 10 games. Okay, you know, could happen, I guess. But they've also conceded 122 goals in that time. A goal every 7 and a bit minutes, that is. Chairman Gary Page has been speaking about it. There's a lovely little piece about these guys on the BBC website. He said, from a club point of view, we wanted to play at the highest level and make sure we continue to play at the highest level. But the problem is they've basically run out of players. So they've just been playing their under 18 guys. And they've been trying to get a whole load more players in. But unfortunately, people don't seem to be up for it in South Devon.
Yeah, you said the goalkeeper's been absolutely fantastic. The goalkeeper's been their best player, which is a massive shout given their last game they lost 14-0. And a week or so before that, they lost 18-1.
Was that the one they'd had someone sent off in the 14? Anyway,
might have been.
They've been having a terrible time of it.
So if you are in the South Devon area and you're quite handy,
yes,
and you can observe the COVID protocols, get yourself down to Stoke Gabriel. They need players. It's a bit. Listen, they don't want me. One, because I'm too old and not as good. And two, because I'm too far away. But if you're in that area, go down and help them out.
This
I was going to defend you and say, because you're not a goalkeeper. Yeah.
No, well, they don't need a goalkeeper. That's their best player.
The point is, Kate, he's inevitably going to get poached. He's just an advert on the BBC website saying how great he is. There's no way he's there next week.
Oh, yeah. Bloody hell. Yeah, that's a good... Yeah, put a shout out. Ramble fans, get yourselves down there. I love it.
The manager's basically gone, agreed to do a story with the BBC about his team who are really bad, and it's quite patronising. And what he's done is he's spent the entire article talking about how good his goalkeeper is. He's now going to leave, and it's going to make the team even worse. So, first things first, they need a goalkeeper. So get yourself down there.
I thought Brassel was about to volunteer there. Or perhaps he could have a little ramble day trip, get Marcus.
Marcus would probably do a job for him, I expect.
I think so, from what I've heard.
He would not be going in goal.
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't do that.
He's all about pace, is he?
He used to be.
Pretty much.
Oh.
Yeah, used to be. I'm not sure if he still is, but he used to be.
Come on, we don't want to show people too far behind the curtain.
That's true.
He's all about pace.
Hey, listen, Marcus will still be faster than me at my peak when he's about 60.
Wow.
Put it that way.
That is serious. All right. Well, let's very slowly get ourselves out of here.
Yeah.
And leak a few stretches after that strenuous round of the ramble. Thanks, guys, for listening today. Tomorrow's show, it is Jules, Pete and Vish. I promise that's who's going to turn up. probably.
Don't sound like people just turn up randomly. It is planned.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
All right. Say goodbye then, Lee.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Andy. I'll see you next time. Take care, guys.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more... And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.